First Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do.
From the verse number 15 of the chapter 4 to the verse number 9 and the verse number 10, all through of the chapter 5, is one longer passage. And in this passage, the apostle has been contrasting in a way the situation that is going to be for the Lord's people and the situation that is going to be for the Lord's enemies. I would like now to read the verses from the chapter 4 and from the chapter 5 that apply to the believers, to the people of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 15 and on. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need to write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as ye do. These verses are given to us concerning all of us that believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I would like to read together the second part of the second verse in the chapter 5, then verse 3 and 7. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. For God has not delivered them from the wrath that is coming. In the first verse of the chapter 5, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and to us that of the times and the seasons, obviously concerning the coming of the Lord, we have no need that he write unto us, for we should know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And then in the verse number 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. How are we supposed to live? What should be our walk in the sight of the Lord, so that we be prepared for the coming of the Lord at the end, and for the coming of the Lord all the time? In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24, in the verse number 42, the Lord said, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." In the verse number 43, "Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now since he does not know, the only safe solution would be that that house be guarded all the time." Then in the verse number 44, the Lord is repeating, putting more accent on that, being watchful. "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So if we are ready, the Son of Man cometh anyway at such an hour that we think not he is coming. And then the Lord gave a story that would illustrate what he meant. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in the due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he," the Lord, "shall make him this ruler, ruler over all his Lord's goods." So watching does not necessarily mean doing nothing else, just staring in the darkness, just standing in attention and looking around, perhaps today, perhaps 1 hour later, perhaps another day, perhaps 2 hours later. No. "Blessed is every servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing what the Lord has commanded." That's how we watch. So we should do the will of the Lord as much as we can. And when we see the Lord coming, we are going to be ready for his coming. We do not need to know what year, what month, what week, what day, what hour the Lord is coming. I believe if the Lord had given us the exact moment of his coming, or even the exact year of his coming, that Satan would have used that to deceive many. Don't worry about the Lord's coming. Just that year you will get ready. But that is not the nature of the new man. That is the nature of the old man that is dead in his or her trespasses. The only good for us is that we do what the Lord has commanded us. And suppose that we are investing in the ministry as if we are going to live another 100 or 1,000 years, and all of a sudden the Lord is coming, nothing has been wasted. All that we used in the Lord's ministry has an everlasting value. There are no losses in the ministry. There are no failures in serving the Lord, doing his will. Failures and losses are in not doing his will, in disobeying his will. Let the Lord take another 1,000 or 10,000 years before he is coming, or let him take 10 minutes. Since we are doing the will of the Lord, the eyes of our faith are at His face any time He comes, we should be ready. For all those that came to the end of their earthly journey, the Lord has come already. Next moment, they were with the Lord. The bodies of the Christians are decomposed in their graves or in any other way. But the souls that are redeemed will never die. They received life everlasting. For all of us for whom living means Christ, death means gain, because it's only death of the body, of the flesh and blood, and the soul is instantly transferred into the presence of the Lord. And yes, there will be the great resurrection, and every such a soul will receive a new, transformed body capable of enjoying everlasting glory, everlasting life, and worshiping the Lord in His glory and majesty. But all of that is the Lord's work. He will take care of that, and He will never miss, never make any mistakes. Only let us be careful to do the will of the Lord. I think that's what it means. Be on guard. Be watchful. Do not allow Satan to deceive you or sidetrack you. Calmly and faithfully obey the Lord and trust Him. Everything will be as good as it can be. He is the one that takes care of all. I think we could compare, in a way, the return or the coming of the Lord in His triumphant return to gather all of His own, we can compare that in a way with the appearance of the Apostle Peter after he was released from the prison by an angel, and the Apostle Peter appeared at the gate of the household where many were gathered in the house of the mother of John Mark. The believers were in prayer continually to the Lord for the Apostle Peter. I don't know exactly what they prayed for, but they were in prayer to the Lord. When that prayer was answered, and the moment Peter appeared at the gate, it was too wonderful to believe. It was almost beyond their comprehension. When Sister Rhoda told them, "There is Peter at the gate," they said, "Are you okay? It cannot be. Peter is in the prison. We are praying for his release." But when they finally opened the gate, they were astonished. There is Peter. And we, I think, if we live here in this body, and if not we, those believers that will be in the flesh alive, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him, doing the will of the Father, when they see the Lord Jesus coming, it's going to be almost impossible to believe. Such excitement, such a great thing is taking place this very moment. The greatest hope of all the believers are being fulfilled that very moment, but that might be a historical moment, not necessarily a few seconds. But whatever it be, it's going to be exactly as the Lord has chosen and designed it. And I'm confident it's going to be way beyond any imagination of any faithful man, even beyond the imagination of those that received these revelations and the understanding that is being revealed to us in these verses and passages. It is going to be more glorious than anything we can see pictured for us in the revelation. And I think that's why, among the other reasons, we will receive a transformed, changed body capable of experiencing all the glory, all the joy, all the excitement and rejoicing of that time and the time forever after. Though in the Revelation we read, the time shall be no more. The glorious eternity has started and will roll on and on, will never cease. For everyone, brother, sister, whom the Lord has made ready for His coming, the Lord is coming as the bridegroom of our souls. Wonderful, marvelous, beautiful, beloved, adorable, glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in all that joy and excitement, He is going to appear before us, awesome, great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe that this body and this mind and heart that we are having now is not capable experiencing all that love and adoration and awesome reverence of His Majesty. We must be changed in order to experience that glory and that joy. And all the others, all the sinners that refuse the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they shall be changed also. And they will receive another body, capable of experiencing the horror of being lost forever, enemies of their own happiness. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17 from the verse number 28, the Lord is talking, "As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed." Apparently the Lord is not spending any time to talk about those men that were the worst of the bad ones, those that attacked Lot and his visitors. Apparently the Lord is talking about the good people, so-called, or the so-called decent people, the loyal citizens of the world. And that's what it means, sleeping in the night and being drunk in the night, being unaware of the most important part of the reality that could be expressed in a few words. The Lord is coming in His appointed time. However, we also will be called back home to be with the Lord at His appointed time, and we just don't know exactly when. And as the Lord has given us signs before His coming, so that we can realize that it's very close, so He has given us a lot of signs of the end of our journey on this earth, that we may sense it's very close. On the other hand, for those that are walking in the light of the Word of God, with the Spirit of Christ the Savior in their hearts, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, it often gives us a feeling, any moment, the Lord will be here. I think that's part of the new nature. And in a special way, the Lord has descended from heaven. All those that heard His voice and have been risen from the dead into the new life in Christ, for them the gospel is like the trumpet of the archangel. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is an awakening call to forsake everything and to follow the Lord. That is what it means to be on guard, to be watchful. That is the meaning of his words and the manner, the way of waiting for the Lord. In the verse number 3, we see what is going to happen to the unbelievers. For when they shall say peace and safety, the world has the worldly comfort. If the earth is not shaking, if the sunshine is shining beautifully, if they continue in their sins and careless life and disrespect and disregard of the word of God, everything is all right, there is peace and safety. The destruction that is coming upon the rebellious, disobedient humanity is going to be sudden destruction. What they have been developing for so long, that sinful way of living, has come to its full term, and now they are going to give birth to that what they deserve. The time of grace is over. The time of judgment is upon them. There is no more escape. In the verse number 5, Paul is saying, "But brethren, ye are all children of light and the children of the day. For the children of the Lord that live and walk in the light of his word," there is just going to be much more light. The brightest day ever has arrived. Our Lord and Master, our Savior, our Deliverer is appearing before our very eyes. In the verse number 6, let us watch and be sober, not striving to please the Lord, not laboring to do his will in this short span of time that we have given to be the stewards of his gifts, his blessings, his provisions. One way or another, not doing the will of the Lord means falling asleep, becoming similar to those others, the unbelievers. It's a wonderful contrast for the Christians that we read in the verses 7 and 8. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. How can it be at the same time? It's the night for them and the day for us. Very similar to what we have in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the children of Israel. How wonderful! What is between us and the world? What was on Golgotha between the sinner that repented and received the promise of life everlasting, and the other sinner that continued in his sins, and in his sins left this life and entered into eternity? It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same one that was on the cross is between us and the world. And to us, the Lord Jesus Christ is that life and light and truth and salvation and all in all. But before we entered through that door of salvation, we were in darkness like the others. In the middle part of the verse number 8, we are given the breastplate of faith and love. Aaron the high priest was given the breastplate on which the names of the children of Israel, all the tribes of Israel, were engraved. With that breastplate he was entering into the holy and the most holy. Our great high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has on his breast, in his heart, in his embrace, the names of all the redeemed ones. All over our breastplate is one great and glorious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Master, our King, our Book of Life. And in him are included all the brothers and sisters recorded in this great book of God, and all those that we know as faithful, in whom we see the testimony, the living evidence that they are God's people. This breastplate is part of the armor that the Lord has given us in Christ, in the Spirit of Christ the Savior. This breastplate makes us ready for the battle, stronger than our enemy. In this breastplate we breathe and move and do the will of our Lord. This breastplate is that living faith that worketh in love. We are also given a helmet that is to protect our head, or our mind, and our face. Through that helmet we look at all things, life and death, spiritual and physical. Looking through that helmet we see that all the difficulties, all the testing and trials are just for a time, and all the deceitful excitements of sin and the enticing calls to sin, to satisfy sinful lusting, all of that is for a short time. But the joy of heaven is forever and ever, and the pretaste of that joy we are experiencing here by the grace of our Savior. And the suffering of hell is forever and ever, and the pretaste of that suffering the sinners are suffering even here in this miserable life in sin, in darkness. We are encouraged here to consider everything and to look at everything through that helmet of salvation, living in expectation of the Lord's return. Of course, in our own strength we can do nothing, let alone such a great preparedness for the Lord's coming, day by day, that we may live like that every day of our pilgrimage. But God, who hath appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to do it, because he gave us his only begotten Son, that none of the believing in him and obeying him should perish but have everlasting life. With all of that, whether we fall asleep, whether we leave this body, or whether we continue in the body, we live together with Christ. In Christ we are alive, and that is comfort to our souls and edification to our new man. And Paul is saying in the verse number 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye do. In the verse number 18 of the chapter 4 we read some of these words: comfort one another with these words. Which words? The promise of life everlasting. The promise that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in all the days of our pilgrimage. In this verse 11 of the chapter 5, the apostle is saying, comfort yourselves together. Again, that's one another, together. And edify one another, even as ye do. When we comfort one another, we are edifying one another. And when we edify one another, in that edification there is comfort from the Lord. Paul is saying in this verse 11, even as ye also do, keep doing that. That's being on guard. That's watching for the Lord's return. Not being terrified. Not being anxious. Not being depressed. But rather, doing the will of the Lord and rejoicing in His salvation. Sharing among ourselves the abundant grace of our Lord, charity, loving kindness, mutual help, mutual understanding, mutual encouragement, mutual respect of one another, having godly concern for one another, together and each individually rejoicing in the Lord's salvation. That is waiting for the Lord. That is being on guard, doing His will from the heart.